Rob Parr,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Live HMB 513. My name's Logan. This is Anna Hummel.
Hi. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Gosh, are you kidding me? It's my pleasure. I just found out I'm getting sued for $2,100. Literally just now.
Congratulations. For what?
It's something with some images, because back in the day, you just kind of pulled an image off Google and put it on your website.
Yeah.
You know what? It was probably an infringement, perhaps, allegedly at least. And I just went ahead and said, I'm such small potatoes that they're not going to, you know,
go out do anything.
And they did. So I just got a letter in the mail. I don't know how, like, what they can do. They're not even sending it to the right address. They're sending it to Slybar or Tap House 61 now, because I've listed their address on flyers and stuff. So they don't even have my address correct.
I guess you should be flattered that they think you are a threat.
I guess so. But that seems excessive. 2,100 bones. So I don't know. I guess get one of my attorney friends to respond to that. That's insane. Anyway. Good afternoon. It's 6 p.m. It's Wednesday. That means it's a Homemade Broadcast live stream. I didn't get to speak to anybody all last week. That was the only video I put out. And this is probably the only video I'll put out this week, because I've accepted defeat in some ways. I was running myself ragged, and it was making me ill. So I'm just going to do what I can do. And that means be here on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. for the time being. Then so be it. I'm not going to go over. I've been doing like, I got off work today and fixed a toilet. I'm getting sued. I'm fixing toilets. Like, I'm a grown-up. This is officially getting sued, fixed a toilet in the same day. Come on.
That's pretty, yeah, that's pretty mature. Mature living.
It is. It feels good.
It feels good? Okay, good. Good. It makes you feel like you're capable and that you're being somebody. You know, people are mad with you, sending you letters in the mail. That's official stuff, man. Getting sued by people because you're breaking laws, maybe infringements. I mean, that's adult stuff, and you should be proud of yourself.
But maybe, like, I'm questioning how serious this attorney is if they can't even be bothered to track me down. Like, what is my responsibility here if they don't even have the right address? Do I have to pay if they sent me the address at a wrong address? I'm not affiliated. Like, they could just Google it, and they didn't even bother to do that and saw that this was a bar. I don't get it.
So where did you put this on your website?
They sent me, I got, so Tap House 61 is where I used to do the
comedy,
the comedy stuff. Yeah. And I had their address on my flyers and stuff, and it had HMB radio on it, and it had, you know, Tap House or Slybar, whatever it was. And they sent me, I don't know, like, the Slybar people sent me, hey, you got this in the mail. Do you want me to open it? I said, yeah. So they go, oh, it's like images on your website that they found that you have on your website that they said delete them, and I just deleted them. So I don't have them on my website anymore, the images that are in question. And now they're sending a letter saying they want $2,100.
For images that you've already taken down.
They're already gone. I mean, I did technically use them probably for many years, allegedly use them. But, I mean, they're gone now. I don't know. I have to send this. It could be a scam, too.
I don't know. Do you have any legal counsel you could chat with?
Yeah, I got. I don't know if they deal in that type of law, but I should be able to do. I don't know. At least something. Joe wants to know what the images were. They're just. I don't remember. I mean, it was just like
stock photos of.
you know, just, you know, whatever. Something I was talking about, you know, that I've Googled and then found an image and put it on the website and put my logo on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not particularly, you know, and in my defense, I didn't really know what I was doing. I know that's no excuse, but, you know, and I also thought I was such small potatoes that they would never find out. But
right.
Yes. So I don't know. That's annoying.
Well, but, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Bigger than small potatoes.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that? $2,100 worth. That's good. How are you doing? What's up with you?
Oh, you know, things are good. Things are great. I think I'm going to do therapy.
Oh, God. Why?
I think I have neglected a lot of stuff that I, you know, when I'm not saying this is a fake personality, but, you know, I'm presenting to you the person that I want you to perceive. And this is fun, Anna, but I feel like all of us kind of have maybe qualities of ourselves that maybe we're not so proud of. We don't really work on those too much. And I feel like I'm all about the health game, right? And eating well and the ice baths and the sauna and yada, yada, yada. You know the story. But I feel like I've really neglected trying to just manage things better. It's not so much like I've been traumatized sort of thing, but I've noticed that my OCD is getting worse. And I've had it since I was a little kid, and I've been in therapy for it before, and I've been on meds for it before. I'd like to not go on those things, but I'm researching cognitive behavioral therapy, which isn't so much a tell me about how your parents, you know, hurt you, whatever, because I've had a very blessed life, or whatever the non-religious equivalent of blessed, fortunate life. But I feel like I need some tools about how to kind of get out of my own head, especially when it comes to obsessive compulsive thoughts. My uncle has it pretty bad as well. He thought he had AIDS for 2 decades. I'm not quite there yet, but it runs in my family.
It turns out he did, and he died.
He's dead.
And he died of AIDS. Yeah.
No, he's fine. He doesn't have AIDS at all. He's thriving in Orange, New Jersey. But I've just been realizing I've been having some issues kind of handling, like, I need better coping mechanisms. So I don't need someone to be like, I'm so sorry. I need someone to be like, you need to try to separate yourself from this condition. It's like, it's not you, you know. I need to be taught that I can have more control over my shiz than I do. You know what I mean? I need someone to kind of show me methods of being able to kind of, because sometimes I spiral and I don't help. So that's what's on my plate.
It's not something that you can just like Google and help yourself, get a self-help book. You need somebody else to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I think I do. I think I need something that's a bit more interactive. And listen, I am not, and I think you know this about me, but I am not a, mental health is very chic right now. Mental disorders are very chic. I have anxiety, I have depression. People wear it on their sleeve like a badge of honor. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't like feeling not on point. But I feel like when we think that there's an issue with our knee or our body or our gut or whatever, that we may have a STI. Do you remember those days where there might be something and you get it checked out? And I think that this might be helpful just to mitigate things that I'm not doing well now, but also kind of prevent it from getting worse. Cause I don't know, periodically with my life, the volume turns up and down with my OCD. And now it's especially kind of at a fever pitch over the last few months. It's not like this happened yesterday. It's been getting worse. So I'm like, maybe I should do something about it instead of just muscling through it. You know, some things I feel like maybe I can't just run it off or go to jujitsu and it's going to get better on its own. And I'll just, you know, figure it. It's like I'm not doing that. And I keep doing the same stuff, expecting a different result. So clearly I need a shift. So
I did. Yeah, no, that's interesting. anything now? Have you considered going the just medication route? Because
no,
sometimes
no
medication.
No, because I don't think you really, at that point, you're pretty much just putting a Band-Aid on it. And I feel like I really need to learn tools. And I can't just read them in a book. Like, I need someone, I need to be able to like have a back and forth with someone where I give them a specific example and then they help me work through an example. And I know it's expensive and I am a Jew and I don't want to pay for it. But also, I started asking myself, I'm like, what if someone paid you, you know, $1 million to never exercise or and just start eating crap all the time? I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't have, I want my health.
Yeah,
so that's priority. So I'm like, okay, we really can't put a price on this. And if I feel like I'm struggling and I've been struggling for a while and I haven't had therapy in 15, 16 years, I don't think it would be a bad idea to just try to get a bit more control over my stress management and my OCD. So
I think that's it's not a bad idea.
Yeah. But and it's funny because like the reaction you have or had to it is my reaction to myself. I'm like, really, Anna? Really, you can't deal with a few things. You're not getting bombed. Like, no one raped you. My dad didn't molest me. I'm like, you can't work through this on your own. And then I feel guilty for feeling like I need help. But I'm like, you know what? Like, maybe I do. Maybe my brain is broken. You know, maybe it has nothing to do with trauma. It's just I got a broken brain and I need to just kind of fix it a little bit. So
what if that requires, what if the broken brain is an imbalance chemically that can be fixed with medication?
I mean, I'm not completely against medication, but that's not going to be my first attempt at a solution. You know, like that's the last resort for me is medication. I would really like to learn tools because I feel like when you give someone tools like that, you're giving them power back. You're giving the person the ability to take control versus them relying on some, extraneous substance that they need to take in order to feel normal or better. I don't want to do that. I did that. I played that game. I don't want to play that game anymore. And no shade to anybody who does. But again, I'm very much a pull it up, you know, by your bootstraps kind of person. I usually hate those people, but I feel like, you know, I need to do the heavy lifting, which requires me to like do the deep work and maybe get some therapy. So.
So when did you just come to this conclusion like today?
Yesterday. Yeah. Yeah. So I reached out.
Are you going to do the app thing where you can like, you know, see a therapist through an app?
No telemedicine. That is just garbage. I can't. Okay. Maybe Bubba endorses BetterHelp. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I just for fun.
You don't.
Right. But still, I don't think that that's the best methodology. I think you need to be in person because the last thing I want to be doing is bearing my soul and then we lose the Zoom connection, you know, and it's glitching and you're like crying. You're like, wait. I don't want to deal with that. I want to just person to person. You know, I don't want to see their cat or, you know, they're looking at their phone. I need person-to-person interaction and someone give me the tools.
It's part of your OCD.
Quite possibly, yes. But I also just think it's a more intimate experience. And it's less of it's a therapist, don't get me wrong. But I'm looking at it more as like a personal trainer showing me how to do the moves. You know, I don't want to have a therapist forever. You know, once I learn the moves from the trainer, not that you're done forever, but then you're able to at least kind of work out on your own. That's kind of how I'm viewing this. Like maybe they can show me some things, some tools that I can use in my toolbox to when I get to a point where I'm not okay, I'm able to kind of work my way out of it. So.
It's weird because I feel like, you know, I've dealt with my own mental health issues, you know, as a kid and a teenager and, you know, I've been okay as an adult. I haven't had any problems. And I've had people in my family who deal with mental health stuff. And but those are real. And you kind of alluded to it earlier, how like a lot of this seems to just be fashion. Like
trendy,
like,
yeah.
Like, trauma. Like I'm done with, I've had enough of talking mental
health. I know.
At the same time, you know, it's kind of this delicate line because some of it, or a lot of it is fake, but there also is genuinely a lot of problems out there. This job that I'm doing now, I'm filing claims for people. And it's like these disability claims that are getting filed are either they're pregnant or they are mentally ill. And like, that's seriously, I would say like over half of the claims that I file.
Yeah.
Like, it is an epidemic of people who are suffering. Now, maybe a lot of these companies prioritize mental health and they'll give you mental health days and they'll give you, you know, time off. If you say that I'm struggling and I'm going to go see a psychologist, if you just go talk to a psychologist, all of a sudden you get, you know, extra vacation days. There is incentive there to go see a psychologist. So you can get vacation. So I don't know, but it, I mean, I think it is a real problem, obviously, or, and the society isn't like, let's figure out why people are mentally ill. It's just like, either let's we'll talk about it and not stigmatize it. Well, okay, yeah, I don't think it necessarily should be stigmatized, but it should be dealt with and not just be like, I'm this.
Right, exactly. How I'm,
like, let's fix it.
I'm trying to be proactive about this. Because I notice it's getting worse and it doesn't seem to be turning around and I keep doing stuff. Like, I just think, oh, I need to get more sleep. And I do. And I'm cool for a week. And then I have an episode or whatever. Or I think I can just exercise and everything's going to be, I just need some light in my eyes. I'm my Andrew Huberman. Woo. Like, yeah, that helps. But it's not really, it just kind of, again, puts a little bit of a Band-Aid, makes me feel better, maybe elevates my mood. But then, you know, 12 hours later, I'm back at baseline and I am effed because I don't really have any structural tools to use. So, and I don't wear this. It's like, I like that it's stigmatized and I like that it's not. I like that it's stigmatized because it shouldn't be so, it's like body positivity. You know, it's like, you shouldn't just accept that you're gross and obese. Like, you should probably do something about it. You know, but that doesn't mean you have to hate yourself for it. And that's kind of where I'm at is like, I'm not happy and proud to have OCD, but I have it and I need to deal with it. So, I need a little bit of help, I guess.
It's like you shouldn't be ashamed, but you shouldn't be proud either.
Yeah, I'm not proud, but also
no, I know you're not.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not proud at all. Like, I feel inadequate and incapable of handling basic stuff, but I'm also telling myself it's not really the problems, it's me, it's the machinery. Something's not, you know, things are getting triggered when they shouldn't. I hate using that word, but you know what I mean? And I find myself in loops and it's not healthy. I'm not happy when I do that. And I feel like I can't get out of it when I'm in like an obsessive compulsive loop. I mean, for example, if I'm eating, I can't even taste food. I'm so locked into what's going on. People can be talking. I am absorbing nothing. I can't hear anything outside of my own voice. And I just noticed that voice is getting louder and louder and louder. And so, yeah.
Sounds like schizophrenia.
Yeah. Yeah. I got schizophrenia. Yeah. So, that's where I'm at right now. But I think it's good kind of when you get pushed over the edge. And I'm, you know, emotionally sober right now. Yeah. I'm obviously not showing you when I was at my lowest, but now that I'm emotionally sober, like now's the time where I'm like, okay, let's act because I'm a lot more functional and let's really try to, cause I thought about doing therapy for here and there, maybe putting it off cause you have a good few weeks or whatever. But I just think it's a good idea to kind of, to do something. Like, I owe it to myself and especially, you know, my boyfriend to try to get things under control before they get worse. So
that's true. I respect that. I mean, and no shame in, you know, seeking help. I just, and I know that, you know, it too, just to go back to it, it's like just an excuse. It's like an accessory that people wear instead of a necklace. They wear their, you know, whatever trauma or whatever that they have. And in many cases it is real. In many cases it's exaggerated to a degree. And I get the incentive there because not only is it a fashion statement and it's kind of chic and trendy, but it's a good excuse to not achieve.
Yeah, it is. And it's like other disorders. Let's get controversial. Okay. So you got transgender dysphoria. I mean, as of right now, I think it's still in the DSM-5 or 6.
For the time being, yeah, until it's removed.
It's a disorder. Uh-huh. But then it's celebrated and we're happy. And when kids want to transition at 6.5, that's great. It's like, this kid has a problem, possibly. I don't even think most of these kids have that. It's just the parents pushing it on them. But maybe don't celebrate in the street. Maybe like take them to a therapist so that they can. Is it really a problem or are you just not hugging them enough? Like, what's going on?
The problem is on is many times they do take them to a therapist and the therapists are corrupt.
Yeah.
Or they are true believers. Right. You go back to where these people are trained, and they're trained in universities, and universities, as we know, are overrun with that. It's not, there's not a lot of knowledge flowing outside of the STEM programs. And even then, a lot of times there's a lot of this ideology that's flowing, you know,
or
even
DEI hires. Yeah.
So it's completely corrupt. But it's hard when you argue with people because they're like, there are studies showing this. I could show you the studies, and you go, yeah, that's true. But I have a, you know,
other studies
above average IQ. And I know that this is not right. But they have the credentials. They have these are doctors that are telling you you're science. You know, you're a science denier. But the science is corrupt. I mean, there's many.
It's really selective. I mean, I could show you 15 studies right now that show you being vegan is the best way to go. I can show you 15 other studies that say carnivore is the best way to go. I can show you 15 more studies that show you paleo, keto, fruit, whatever the case may be, is beneficial to whatever, you know, compared to anything else. So there's lots of ways to succeed, but I just need to find my best way. Ooh, there was something else I was going to say. About, oh, I'm really lucky I'm not going through this as like a kid who's relying on a parent with an agenda and a psychologist with a narrative. So that's good. I'm able to kind of filter. But yeah, I'm not proud of it. I think most people are somewhat broken or, you know, could use a tune up. And I definitely feel like this is something that I probably should have done a while ago. But much like you, like, it's so funny because your reaction to it, I'm not even mad at it. It's like, it's how I feel about myself. I'm like, really? You're one of those. But I had to come to the point where I'm like, but what you're doing isn't working. So you need to do something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, hey, I wish you the best. It would be something, though, if you come back next week and you're like, call me Al. I'm Al Hummel. I went to a psychiatrist and he told me I'm actually a man. And that's
That'd be sick. That'd be awesome.
For 2024, Al Hummel.
Mm-hmm.
You cut your hair nice and short.
I already did.
Club. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be good. Mm-hmm. Wow. Lots happening. Anna's becoming a man. I'm getting sued.
Yes.
It is really coming full circle here. No, but for real, that's good. And I think like you're in a I love Al Hummel. The comments are me too. No, that's good. That's good because there is good. Just find a good doctor. Just don't jump on one. Like, make sure you talk, and you might have to explore, find a few, go visit a few different ones and find out which one's sane and which ones aren't.
Yeah, I'm prepared to do that.
Very dubious to those people, having visited them for many years as a teenager and a child. And
you went to therapy?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a psychiatrist, I've been the psychologist. Are you going? You're not going to the pill route, so you're just going.
No. I'm going to psychologist at least first. Like, I would like to think that I have some grip on this versus I need to take my meds and. God forbid I don't have my meds, and if I don't have them, I go crazy. I don't want to be that person. I'm not that person. I desperately do not want to be that person. So my goal is to be able to handle it myself, even if I need an aid along the way, if that makes sense. Just
it does.
Yeah.
So God, and somebody said it in the comments, like everybody's like nuts, and it's a trope, right? That the doctors tend to be as crazy or more crazy than the patients in a lot of ways. And
you're crazy, or you got your own version of crazy, doesn't mean you can't give good advice, or doesn't mean that you can't, you know, you can't. I mean, you see a lot of maybe coaches who never played professional football, but they're top level coaches. Like, they can't play the game very well, but they know how to coach it. Sometimes I look at it that way. So,
yeah. And I mean, I guess if you have some experience with it, you might be better attuned at either diagnosing it or better just to know how to deal with it because you have
empathetic.
The
experience. Yeah. Right.
You've dealt with your own issues. I guess there's something to be said for that. It's just a little, I don't know. It's weird. Like there's people who are becoming life coaches that are the most unsuccessful people that I've ever come across in my life. I had a friend of mine who's starting a life coaching business. And like, I'm like,
what
dude,
does you a life coach do?
Nothing. That's the thing. And it's like, you are not in a position to give anybody advice about anything. You haven't had a job in years. Okay.
That is their job that they're starting.
This is the job. They're starting a business. But that's, and you can, it's not lying. It's like, it's kind of a lie, right? Like,
what is? Like
if you say that, I've started my own business. I'm a life coach. So I've had a job for a few years. How much money have you made? Oh, zero. I don't have anybody that's, buying my service. But the life, yeah, just like, okay, if you're not, Elon Musk, or maybe that's a bad example, but just somebody who's got it together, who has a car, and I guess maybe some people, listen, there's hucksters everywhere, right? Some people are good snake oil salesmen. Some people are probably losers, but they're successful life coaches and they make money doing it. They talk a good game. They talk fast. They tell you what you want to hear. They say basic things that make sense. Make your bed in the morning, whatever they say. I don't know. But then there's people who just like are not motivational. They're clinically probably insane. and they're starting this business to tell you how to live your life. But it's like, you got to figure your own stuff out first. You cannot just be telling people how to live. That's
yeah. I don't understand like paying for advice when there's so much that you could gather from YouTube or just reaching out to elders in the community or people that you know that you respect. And you're like, hey, can you guide me through this? Those people aren't going to charge you. So it seems kind of bizarre. A lot of people pay for the accountability. A lot of people like that, especially with the trainers, say like fitness trainers, where I'm just, I had a very close friend who spent a lot of money on a virtual, by virtual, I mean, because it was all done digitally and through the computer, but I'm just like, well, why don't you just look up exercises on YouTube for free? And she said that when she pays for it, she knows she's going to do it. So it kind of holds her feet to the fire. Or I don't feel that way at all, because I'm very like self-motivated by my fear, by the crazy thoughts in my brain about the horrible things that will happen if I don't follow through. Not everybody works that way. So I guess I'm lucky in that way that, people always think I'm really motivated. I'm like, no, afraid. It's different.
Yeah. But you can't be doing, motivational videos when you're about to cry because your life sucks and you're doing motivational video and I can see the tears welling up in your eye. Like, it's just so on brand with where we're at right now. It's wild. Joe wants to know what I'm drinking. I am drinking a soda water.
What?
Yep.
Is that a LaCroix?
No, it's a Spindrift.
Okay.
Up in there. Yeah. I got too much to do, man. As soon as we end this, I got to go do my errands, go to the mailbox, start sending out checks and whatever else I got to do for this other stupid jobs that I have. It sucks. It's okay. It's getting better.
Is it? Maybe you need to talk to a therapist. I can sense the defeat in your voice and your gaze.
Yeah, I'm good. I just do I think about my grandfather on my mom's side, and he was a World War II sailor. And he just, when there was a problem, you would just ignore it. And that's what I want to go back to, is just ignoring problems. And he had appendicitis and he ignored it and he died. And I just really respected that about him, that he just was like, I'm just going to push through and go to work. It doesn't matter if I'm in pain. And I think that's the way to go. Like, that's the antithesis of you know, it's antithetical, yes, but it is not necessarily the wrong way. Just push you. Shut up. Just shut. I don't care. Shut up. Just do what you, this is what you signed up for. Do it. Do what you have to do. And that's what I signed up for. So I'm doing what I have to do. Right?
Yes.
I'm a man. I'm fixing toilets. I'm getting sued.
Yeah.
I don't have time. I don't have time to talk to anybody.
Mm.
I have to schedule time to talk to you on Wednesdays.
That's true. That's true.
Put it in my schedule.
Right. You know?
I'm a man. I'm getting sued. I'm fixing toilets.
Yeah.
I don't complain.
Yes, you do.
I do complain.
Yes.
But hopefully it's fun. I just hope the complaining is fun.
Yeah, it helps. It certainly helps. I feel like I hear a lot of eulogies where it's like, they did this and they never complained about it. I'm like, I think that's a lie. I don't think I've ever met anyone who just went through life and was like, this is awesome, and never complained about it, because they definitely did. And they definitely gossiped. Okay. They definitely talk smack. I hate when people say, oh, they never said a bad word about it. That's a lie. You're a liar. This happened. So.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah. Yeah. You got to gossip a little bit, you know?
Gossiping saved me and my sister's relationship.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do I mean? Like, it's a good thing.
We bonded over talking trash about somebody else. That brought us out of a 3-year hiatus of not talking to one another. So when people say gossip is bad, I say nay.
That's right. It's good. I mean, there's a David Tell joke that he says, like, I'm going to butcher it, but I'm paraphrasing. It's like, you ever just, like, there's people out there that have provided you so much joy that they're not aware of, and you just feel like you should call them and thank them, and you're making fun of them or talking trash on them or whatever, but they just provided you with so much happiness.
Yeah. Either
making fun of them or, you know, just bitching. Like, there's a lot of people out there.
Yeah, that I think made you feel so much better about your own situation. You're like, well, at least I'm not doing that. You know,
worse.
At least I'm not that. Right. I have more self-awareness than that.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It is rare. And I mean, you got to take your victories, you know, where they come. I mean, they don't often show up. So, you know, enjoy them when they're here. Before we go, I do want to talk about this. By the way, I feel like I should mention this because I keep forgetting. This show is live on YouTube on Wednesdays. Obviously, people that are here now on Wednesday know that. Thank you. And it's on Twitter and Facebook as well, right? Now, after we record this, I put this video, YouTube, and wherever else it is, it goes back behind, it gets scheduled. So it doesn't get released again as a replay until Sunday night at midnight, which goes along with the audio-only podcast. So now I've synced them up. So now they're released. If you miss the live stream, I wanted to encourage more people to catch the live streams because there wasn't any incentive, because they could just go back and watch it later. And we've got like 4 times more people here today. So that's pretty great. And just wanted to remind you that. So if you don't see the video, I gotten some messages like, are these on YouTube? So yes, they just get released Sunday at midnight along with the audio only podcast. And I appreciate everybody commenting. And I have trouble keeping up sometimes now, so that's pretty awesome. And comment, like it, share it. That stuff really helps out, you know, whatever your social media is, whatever. And what else did I want to say before I do this? Oh, you can get in touch with the show, 813-693-2124. All the contact info is below there. If you feel like donating, you can. You don't have to, although I might need to start a legal fund. So any little bit helps. All the contact information down there is down there. The website, you can text or leave a voicemail. Email is down there. And, you know, I love hearing from people. So that's very good. And thank you. And I did want to talk about this story before we left today, Anna. I don't know if you saw it, but since we, you know, mental health is a, you know, topic of conversation today, I think this is a good story to talk about. A Florida man claims the airport bomb threat from a few weeks ago was an attempt to flirt with a fellow traveler.
I get it.
A Florida man claims that he was attempting to flirt with another traveler when he made a wisecrack about having a bomb in his bag at the airport. Miami native Alan Borinsky, 70, one of your people, told police that he was just trying to be funny when he made the remark at Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport on Friday. Borinsky, how do you say that, Anna?
I cannot even read it.
B-O-R-I-N-S-K-Y, Borinsky, right?
Yeah, Borinsky.
Okay, he was sitting at gate G11 in a terminal when two witnesses overheard him tell another passenger that if the bomb in my bag goes off prematurely, I apologize to your family in advance. Which is a great opening line.
It sure is. It's going to get my attention.
This man is 70.
He looks good.
You got to admit, he looks terrible. He looks like a ghoul, but he looks like a young ghoul, not like an old ghoul.
Right.
Which I think
is dry.
Is there any chance or any chance that he was talking about like prematurely ejaculating the bomb?
That's certainly a possibility. Can you read the line again?
Yes, I can. He said, if the bomb in my bag, is he talking about his testicles?
I think
goes off prematurely.
Yeah.
I apologize to your family in advance.
You know, I can't even really hate on this too much because I feel like sometimes, not necessarily an attempt to flirt, but an attempt to filter friends, I might say something spicy and see how they react to it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I made a joke recently in jujitsu with a person I just met there. He seemed cool, and maybe I dropped some sort of slur just to see how he would respond to it. He very much liked it. And I was like, okay, you're one of my people. You know what I mean? Maybe he was trying to say something kind of spicy so that he could, you know, capture the attention of someone and they might think it's funny. But just by looking at his face, I can tell you his delivery was off. His delivery was more like a sincere, I got a bomb versus like, I got this bomb. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The delivery. It wasn't the line. That's really where he went wrong.
But even if he was talking about, making a mess in his pants because the woman was so attractive, that's not great. That's not good. It's not a good line.
But you got to respect the attempt because at least he's trying. So many men have just given up. They're not even trying. This guy's trying. He is. Okay. Give respect where respect is due.
Yeah. I wonder if he's like, was he trying or is he just like, yeah, I don't know. Like, why would you say it's the worst thing you can say in an airport is that you're going to do something. I mean, there's been some semi-recent history since we've been alive, at least, of things going wrong in airports and with airplanes.
Yes.
I'm talking about DEI pilots. I'm talking about 23 years ago. There was an incident that happened, and some people claim that it was, maybe an explosive device was used. I don't know. I'm going to say no. I don't think that's the case.
But or it's just like things in, yeah.
The worst, but like it's not. There's nowhere good where you go. I have a bomb in my bag. Like there's no place that you should say that. But the least reassuring place is at an airport.
Right before you're going to board. Yeah.
Right before you're going to board a plane where you're in a tube that you can't get out of and you're stuck. Yeah.
People are, even though, and I believe the incident you're referring to is 9/11, perhaps.
I mean, I don't know what that is. What is that?
Okay. It was something that happened about 23 years ago. Okay. Some plane stuff.
Oh.
Plane stuff, among other things. Yeah. I feel like people are on high alert, not as much. Obviously, we're 23 years removed from that incident, but nevertheless, like it's just people are just no one appreciates a bomb joke at an airport like they used to, you know. And even though it wasn't even really a bomb, it's just stuff on planes. People are just a little bit more sensitive. Even I noticed myself where I'm at the terminal, or I'm at the gate. And I'm waiting. No one's talking about bombs, but you kind of look around and you just see something that catches your eye and you're like, is that a woman? And is she wearing a burlap sack? And why is the guy next to her kind of look like someone I've seen in the news recently? And they're also going to Chicago and you go, I'll probably be fine. You know, I mean, if it's going to be somebody, they're probably going to at least, I'm like, this is too obvious, right? Like I hope they profile this person, but I feel like it's the people that look like they're, you know, trying to blend in that are the most dangerous. So then you start to reason with yourself. You're like, should I just go home? I don't know if I want to get on this plane anymore. But
I think like that was a joke, right? In the movie Meet the Fockers, yeah. I believe.
Yeah.
He said bomb on an airplane.
Bomb, 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 bomb. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he did that and then he got taken to jail. But people don't. I think that some people anyway, like people are so desensitized. I think I told this story when I was traveling over the holiday during Christmas. The fire alarm started going off in the airport. It was really loud and it was going off not only in the bar area of this restaurant, but it was going off throughout the terminal. And I'm thinking like nobody's doing anything. Like, in fact, the girl next to me went, oh, my God, turn that off. It's so loud. And I just went, well, did it ever occur to you that maybe we're in danger? And she's kind of looking around, going, nobody's doing it. And it's true. Like, nobody really even got fazed by it. Even I, like, didn't do enough. I was looking around looking for a shooter, which is immediately what came to my mind.
Yeah.
And looking, like, which way do we go? Like, what's the plan here? The wait staff, you know, didn't seem to be too concerned about it. They were kind of annoyed by it. So I don't know. Maybe a good bomb joke is okay now at the airport. But is there a good bomb joke? The only good bomb joke is when you're talking about you got a bomb in your bag. It's when you make a mess in your pants in the front.
Because yeah.
The only good bomb joke.
Yeah. I can't remember if you sent this to me or if I saw this recently on the internet, but there was someone where they called the fire department and because a guy went into the bathroom and said, I'm about to blow this up. Yeah. And people were afraid. So.
Yeah, that was good. So that's a good one too. Yeah, that's a good joke
because
it can cause fear and panic and the police to show up. And that is a good joke. So you know what? I was right. It was a good joke.
It got him
a lot of attention. Now he's in the New York Post, all for a throwaway line about how he almost made a mess in his pants.
Yeah.
He was so attractive. Wow. You know, mental health is important and you should prioritize it. You know, get a therapist, get an attorney, get a plumber because you're going to need them because you're going to need your mental health treatment. You're going to get sued and you're going to have to fix plumbing from time to time. That's a good way to end. Thank you, Anna. That's it. That's the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you, Anna Hummel. You can catch her on the Bubba Love Sponge show, wherever that plays. And you can check me out on the weekly checkup on the Bones Saturday mornings and willsyoutube.com, hmbradio.com, and on your favorite podcast app. I got extra content that's only available over there. So go check me out. For Anna Hummel, my name's Will Koontz. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Farewell.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.